Welcome to Shooting the Breeze, brought to you by the team at Franktown Firearms, a family-owned, family-friendly shooting range in Franktown, Colorado. Franktown Firearms offers practical, defensive training, as well as an impressive selection of firearms at the lowest tax rate, so you can develop confidence with your firearm. The team at Franktown Firearms believes the only difference between a beginner and an expert is practice, so they equip you to keep yourself and your family safe in a welcoming atmosphere. And now, here are your hosts of Shooting the Breeze.
Howdy, howdy, everyone. Welcome back to Shooting the Breeze, and welcome to the first live airing of our show. I'm your host, Sean Steven.
I'm Mike Fiorello.
I'm Karen Murray.
So good to have you guys with us. And Karen, welcome back along with me.
Nice to be back.
And nice to debut my live radio show.
That's right.
And for those of you who may have listened to our show in the past, over the past year and a half or so, we've been doing a show that is airing on Saturdays, and that will continue to do so. But starting today, we'll be doing a live show here from the station.
And it's going to be a blast.
It is. And if you...
Pun intended.
And if you want to call in, don't forget the number is 303-477-5600, and we'll work in your topic.
Mike is working the radio voice.
Oh, yeah. He completely, yeah, you just beat me to that. That was really good. I would have spaced the number. Like, that's great. I'm glad it's live. Glad I could participate. Thanks.
Totally unscripted.
Yeah, we are shooting the breeze. I mean, not literally. That'd probably.
Yeah.
That's you could do anything once.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to be covering
a few topics. Of stuff. Yeah. All kinds of stuff.
And we do welcome anyone who's a regular listener from our Saturday show and any new listeners. We are happy to have you guys, and we appreciate you listening. We, of course, are your friendly neighborhood gun dealers, conveniently located just east of the intersection of Parker Road and Highway 86, about 7 miles from Castle Rock and 7 miles south of Parker.
Is that a shameless plug?
It is.
Okay, cool.
I mean, technically, we're paying for it, so... Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it's not shameless then. Just a plug.
Right. It's just a plug.
Gotcha.
I could do a lot with that, but we're not going to because we're live.
And we are just shooting the breeze, so any topic that comes up, comes up. We'd like to try and keep it different. So everyone that's got gripes about current events, that's naturally going to come up, but we would like it to be something different.
Because everybody's griping about current events, but nobody's griping quite in the right way.
That's a good point.
And not that it's the wrong way, but at the same time, I'm just going to say it now. This is the only time you'll hear it. We're not going to talk about Johnny Depp other than what I just said. That's it. That's it. I promise.
Yeah, but can we talk about Jill Biden?
We can.
Oh, that's the joke of the day.
It is. Yeah. Can we talk about Jill Biden's new autobiography that just came out?
Sure.
It's a short story, right?
In a very short sale list, evidently.
Didn't you see that on several of the independent
news stations? Yeah, I saw it on Western, what did I say? Washington Free Beacon and The Blaze and a couple of different places. But her new autobiography just came out and sold a whopping 250 copies in the first week.
Okay, so everybody in her family and immediate family bought a copy.
Yeah. Everyone in her staff was required to buy it just like a textbook from a university.
Yep.
They had to.
Well, I'm so glad that all the millions and millions of voters bought a copy.
Most popular president. Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
Okay, now we have a game show for the listeners. Name that voice that just popped in. Do you know our producer? Luke Cashman.
It's me. Hello. I'm still here, whether you like it or not.
He's a fixture.
As a matter of fact, believe it or not, Sean was on his hands and knees, and he begged me to be the producer of this live show.
I saw it.
And he threatened to pull everything if I wasn't going to be here. He did it just for me.
It was worth it.
It was just for Luke. We really hit it off. That's why I have to sit here at this particular chair, so I can stare at him longingly through the glass.
He's got the head table, the head seat.
Yeah. Is that like one of those, the roll-up ones? So like when you're driving Miss Daisy, so like I can be in the middle of a sentence and then you just like rudely just roll it up and be like, oh, I guess we're done talking.
I wish I could. That'd be awesome. That'd be sweet.
Just roll it down, just to roll it up again. That's what I'd do if I was driving Miss Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
Although Miss Daisy was loaded, so I probably would.
You got to be
the
nice.
Window down mm-hmm. for a reasonable surcharge.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
absolutely.
$1 an hour.
So, considering that we are a gun store and we have many things to offer at this gun store, Sean, you should tell them a little bit about the store. If we have some new listeners in this time slot, tell them a little bit about the store and what we offer there.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt you right there.
Okay.
There it is.
Gun store. I prefer shooting center.
Shooting center.
Yeah, don't say gun store. It gets us banned on Google. We had to work really hard around that.
The Franktown Firearms Shooting Center. Shooting and retail center.
Karen, don't drag me into Facebook jail with you. I know that you have like a tab there now. You're just like, hey guys, it's me again.
Yeah, my list is growing. My list of offenses and restrictions.
Future episodes, Karen will be bringing her tin hat.
Yeah,
we
right.
may touch on
oh,
that
yeah,
today.
Oh yeah, yeah, we're bringing the tinfoil hat. It's a tinfoil helmet, actually.
That's probably best. I imagine for the amount of on and off.
What's it rated for? 3A, 3 plus, 4?
I have no idea, but
it's big and thick. 4 drones and 3 satellites.
But at least those topics will be entertaining for sure.
Yeah. And we would like to get your opinion out there on what you want to talk about in regard to different conspiracy theories and popular conspiracy theories that are rolling around out there. We would welcome, we have a list a mile long, but we'd like to hear what you have to say about some of those things.
Yeah, and it's just, it doesn't necessarily, these views don't necessarily reflect the views of Franktown Firearms or its affiliates. Upset stomach.
Exactly.
But we want to cover those things because some are really interesting. There's some that are just a complete crock, but it's
but
interesting.
Out there.
Yeah, and there's sometimes I see stuff that's really compelling, and it does make you wonder. And it doesn't even matter what side of the aisle you're on. A lot of this stuff has nothing to do with partisan. And then there's other things that you look at and you go, how in God's name do this many people believe this? Like, there's some of that, too.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm like, don't let that guy speak for me.
Yeah.
Pull the soapbox.
The earth is not flat, but if somebody calls in and wants to argue it, we'll spend a few minutes
on
that.
I would love to hear it. I would love to hear
an
argument for that. It was like, if the earth was flat, people would be profiting off of it, and they'd have like tours to the edge of the earth, and they charge like, you know, they charge you for special t-shirts. I went to the edge of the earth and didn't fall.
Well, see, I know totally about some of this edge of the earth kind of stuff because I've been kind of investigating some of these things. And according to the flat earthers, we are surrounded by Antarctica. It is not at the southern tip of the axis of the earth. And
I feel like
correct
this,
me if I'm wrong. Yeah. So, yeah, that's...
It feels like we're in, like 1642. It's like, that's reasonable. I mean, obviously past the dragon that lives there. And, you know, and it's like to doodle it on the map, like, well, we don't know. Because you only went so far and came back at a certain point.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's like, oh, I discovered a whole continent. Well, aren't there people there? We're not going to discuss that.
Yeah.
I discovered a continent.
Well, and with Antarctica, nobody's allowed to go there.
Oh, so sounds like the flat earthers are evolving into it's a Taurus or something. But let's not spend too much time on the tin hat stuff to start with, because that'll be for future episodes.
It's deep. It's deep and wide.
Karen,
sure
you tweeted something this morning. Why don't you read that tweet?
Well, you'll have to give me time to pull up that tweet.
I will, and while she's bringing that up, I will bring up the quick plug, because we don't want to do an infomercial on our fantastic gun store with reasonable prices and friendly staff and atmosphere.
You said not to say gun store. What are you doing, Sean?
That's attached to the shooting center.
Okay.
It's a center for shooting. It happens
where friends are made.
Mm-hmm. Yes, where friends are made. Like that fantastic radio voice says.
Exactly.
But we carry everything from antique weapons all the way up to the moderns, the AR-15s, AKs, handguns. We do lots of training. Karen is our head instructor and very popular one at that. And people really enjoy taking our classes. We also offer one-on-one training. So come and check us out. Again, we're just east of the intersection of Parker Road, which is 83, and Highway 86. And as if you're going to Elizabeth, but not driving to Elizabeth. And you can go online on franktownfirearms.com anytime. We're open 7 days a week. from 10 to 6 and noon to 6 on Sundays. And we're happy to address any questions or needs that you have for your firearms needs or training.
Yeah, and go ahead.
I really enjoy the all walks of life and all levels of experience that make it into the shop. We had a young lady of 65 or something come in recently, and just her openness and desire to learn and know more, and the fact that she actually did come back the next day with her husband. And then you've got guys come in, you know, just got back from deployment, and they know exactly what they want. And I love that difference of interactions with the entire, you know, scope of humanity that represents
that,
America.
That works out well why our staff isn't on commission. We've never done commission in all these years. We've never done it because we just want you to be in there finding what's right for you, and that's what's important to us.
And I have a whole experience topic stuff on that with the finding what's right for you. And ladies, it's not always a revolver, okay? That's all I have to say.
Not always,
that.
But I do love my wheel guns.
I love them too. I do, but you know, that's the stereotypical elderly woman walks into a gun shop, little, you know, joke there, but that's what they're going to recommend for her.
Yes.
Because they don't think that anybody's capable, especially women, are capable of operating a semi-automatic.
Right, and that's bull.
It is bull.
You can't, you cannot quantify that right off the bat and just say you aren't able to handle it. There's very simple tricks that anyone can handle. I don't care if it's a Desert Eagle, a huge handgun. Someone with arthritis can manipulate that gun. It doesn't mean they want to, but they can, and it's good to know how in case you ever come across a situation where you need to make sure it's safe, and there's nothing to be intimidated by if we understand it. And trying to shove a revolver if they don't need one, but then for the next person, we have people that come in thinking, I absolutely want a semi-automatic, and then they realize, I just can't get myself to hold this the way I need to for it to not jam up on me in stovepipe or short stroke. And then they end up with the revolver because they liked it.
Okay. We could obviously talk all day about guns. But getting back to Karen's
Are you
tweet,
reining us back in? Is that what I'm sensing here? Okay.
This will be the poll of the owners of the company back and forth. Our passive-aggressive little... It's going to be just like when we're online playing games together.
I'm sure next time it'll be... I think I started it, but...
You did. Okay, so Mike wants me to read my tweet from this morning. And he came in today talking about this very subject. So here it is. Constitutional representative republic. That's what we're supposed to be. Democracy. And then I parenthesized four wolves and a sheep deciding what to have for dinner, what the deep state wants us to be. So how true is that?
That's all too true. And I would like people to call in. Remember, 303-477-5600. I'm going to make the argument that there are many types of governments, and there is rarely any country that is a singular form of that one government. Many people will argue that bureaucracy is not a form of government, and I'm arguing it is the major and dominant form of government on planet Earth. And our founding fathers would be our rolling over in the graves that our country has devolved to a bureaucracy.
I would agree.
And nobody's clean in it. It's not even a which side of the aisle. It's everyone. And it has just devolved into this just bureaucratic mess. And you can see it no matter what the news says or doesn't say. And if you listen to the news or you don't, we all are affected by it. I mean, look at what it takes to
register a vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's not even a right. Yeah. You don't have a constitutional right to have to drive a car. It's a privilege. It is.
It is.
So that's even harder, though, than getting a gun in a lot of ways in, you know, most states, which definitely not advocating to make that harder. It's enough. It's enough paperwork. It's enough. Bureaucracy is
done. In American culture right now, the quote-unquote media has become, you know, a hot topic. They are a bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. They are part of the bureaucracy. And
they're the left-leaning arm of the federal government,
also
period.
Right-leaning forms sure. of that bureaucracy.
Yeah, and it's hard not to look at it as just watch the elephant and the donkey dance on the stage, and then it's like, what? Like, I want to look past that. Like, what's going on behind the curtain over there?
Was it Thomas Paine that had that quote? So you have a republic. Good luck keeping it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem with bureaucracies, these are unelected officials that are basically running the country. They're influencing people who make the decisions and should make the decisions.
Yeah, the people who are appointed by the resident. I'm sorry, I can't call him president. Sorry.
The resident of the
That's Oval your right for now.
The yes. resident, the people who are he has appointed into positions like the woman of the year, for example.
And this is going this is going to lead into my next point about what I think the government was intended to be. The federal government is oversized. The citizenry should interact with the states, and the states should interact with the federal government. There should be rare cases where citizens are drawn into a court case with a federal government.
Right, and that would only be the Supreme Court of the United States.
Yes.
That is why they're there.
When they aren't getting satisfaction from their state, they bubble it up to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
How does this tie into, like, the Convention of States? Is that a tie at all? I don't know much about the Convention.
Well, Convention of States hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah, we don't really have one.
It should.
Not anymore.
We've moved away from that.
Yeah, it's the same. It's residency. That's what happens. It was not intended. We are supposed to be a constitutional republic. And it is supposed to, what our founders had in mind was anyone who is a average citizen, you are elected by your peers to go and represent them, represent your populace. And then you are guaranteed that your job is held for you because it's a civic duty. It is not a career. It is a civic duty because they think highly enough of you. And it used to be that, especially at the outset, a lot of the folks that were sent there, they didn't go and stand and grandstand for themselves. A lot of them reluctantly went. I mean, look at George Washington. He didn't even want to be the president.
Right.
And then they tried to make him king because it was like, oh, we're holding on to a hot potato here. And imagine if they had been more of the mindset as it is now, we wouldn't even have these conversations. It wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
Because you were supposed to go represent them, you do a set amount of time, and you leave.
And you're out. You don't stay there for 30 or 40 years and get filthy, stinking rich.
The evolution of the career politician was the, it's leading to corruption. It's, it's such a foothold for corruption. It's just wrong.
Yeah. It blows my mind how wealthy these people are.
They're royalty. They are not
Nancy Pelosi. Well,
they don't even abide by the same laws.
No, they can do insider trading in the open, and they just look at the camera and go, "What's wrong with that?"
Yeah.
Yeah. There shouldn't be taxation is a perfect place to start to reimagine, recreate the United States and our founding fathers, ideas. There should be no IRS. There should be no federal taxes. The federal government should not be funded by my paycheck and your paycheck and everyone else's paycheck. The states should fund the federal government.
Right.
And we'll fund our states. You don't like the way your state's moving? You move to another state. You don't like the way the United States is working? You're free to go to France, Germany, Mexico, anywhere you
Canada.
Want.
Canada.
Go to
Canada.
Venezuela. Ooh. A lot of liberals that I've heard of would be very happy there
in practice, but it's just like when T-Dog was elected and like I'm T-Dog. Gonna leave. It's like, where, Rosie, why are you still here?
Yeah, exactly.
You're supposed to O'Donnell your way right across that border. GTFO, go. Why are you still here? And I had friends I like grew up in high school and stuff, and I hadn't even talked to them. I didn't even say anything to them, and they blocked me because I hardly use social media. I try to have that tiny bit of semblance of privacy besides blaring my silky smooth
like
voice on the radio.
What are you trying to say?
But no, you're very active on the radio.
On social media.
And social media.
Yeah, big
yes.
time.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Is this social media?
Probably not.
Is radio? Is radio social media?
It's social. It's media.
Yeah.
But I think so I guess it qualifies.
Media, but I think social media has taken on a connotation different from its denotation.
Yeah. But back to your point, Mike, it's we now have it is inherently broken. And
yes,
that is very. What I believe, and I think you guys agree with me, and I think there's at least some listeners that would agree, is people are not happy.
No.
They just aren't. I mean,
everybody sees that. You see that at the gas pump. You see that in the grocery store.
Yes, you're getting gas. It's like you just look and you just like, don't look at me. Like, just I will pump my gas. You pump yours. Like, oh, good, $120. Fantastic.
And I've
guess
noticed
I'll get less groceries.
A lot of that, a lot lately, especially.
Yeah, it used to be where you would shoot the breeze with mm-hmm. someone who's filling up. Hey, how's it going? Good. Oh, I like your truck. Cool, whatever. Now it's like, you just don't want to talk. And I go in the gas station. We know the folks at the gas station near our store. And I have seen time and again guys coming in yelling at them because their car, like a guy's card didn't work. And it was his card was cracked in half. And he's yelling at her that it's her fault.
Yeah, people have zero fuses anymore. And I would say that the onset of COVID was patently responsible for everybody's foul mood.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, like most people on this station, we're conservative and we, of course, lean conservative. I would argue more libertarian, but that's going to line up conservatively.
Yeah. You brought up the dirty five-letter word there. Is that right? COV?
Yeah. Okay. Close enough.
Yeah. That leads me to another topic on my line of thought here.
We're going to be doing a lot of this today, ladies and gentlemen.
The role of the government. It's become a nanny state. The role of the federal government should be to protect the states from other governments and the rest of the world, not to tell me what to eat, what's good for me, what's healthy. If they want to provide information, that sounds fantastic. But telling me that I have to do something is wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you push that down to the state. You know, the states can have more, I hate to use the word control, but let's go there. Control
latitude.
Over the people. The states have lost so much of their power and their role. They've lost too much of their role.
Yeah.
And it's been turned over to the federal government.
And it's almost like it was skipped over, too, because then you go to local governments and most states have preemption laws. They preempt local ordinance. But I just saw on the news today, I can't remember which it was, but the Supreme Court unanimously, including the liberal justices, unanimously agreed that a local government had overstepped their boundaries, saying that they couldn't fly Christian flags. It's like, are you serious? We are wasting our money on that right now.
Wow.
Why is that even a question?
Yeah.
I bet you when that went up there, for all of them to say that, they were probably just looked at each other like, really? This is what we're going to spend? Okay, I guess we're spending our time on it is like we have a very, very loud and vocal minority, and they are a very big minority from every side mm-hmm. of the political spectrum.
And the squeaky wheels are getting the grease.
And the rest of us are just left at the mercy of, why do I even have to? I don't care. I don't care. And how long has it been since any of you listening to this, how long has it been since you went on the news and you could actually say, well, I'm glad I did that? It's like an addiction. You go on there like, oh, like, okay, I got the coffee. Let me just get this out of the way real quick. Just rip off the Band-Aid. Fox News.
Yeah. And then 10 minutes later, I'm like, I can't watch this. I can't watch it.
It's become echo chambers. You know, there's very journalism. You know, I hate to repeat the, mm-hmm. you know, the axiom that you hear. But journalism is dead. It died right around the time, I think Walter Cronkite maybe was a journalist.
Yeah. It is not. You can't. No journalist from 50 years ago or more would even recognize it today.
Yeah.
It's not as objective. It is just a show. And we are all, no matter who's in control of what, we are the ones that pay.
They call it programming for a reason.
Yes.
Yeah. Like some of the stuff that my children come home with. You know, I've got four young children. And it is really hard for me sometimes not.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sean. I'm a citizen and I pay for that school, so
you
are, they're my children
of course.
Now. Okay?
You're right.
I just want you to understand.
I apologize.
That.
I shouldn't have gotten upset.
I don't
upset.
Know where you thought the idea
How much
that,
community
know.
Service should I do?
It takes a village, Sean.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, I'm so glad that I have no choice over the village for my children. I'm so glad that someone from 120 miles away.
They're our future, and I'm going to mold your children.
Right. And see, that's the problem. You can't. I mean, you can't. I love my kid's school district. I do. It's a very conservative school district, and that's a rare gem anymore. But even if it wasn't, it even school's different from when I was in school, and it wasn't that long ago. My kids are young. It is a huge difference, and the things that they get upset about, and you know, I've got a 12-year-old son. He turned 12, and Mike, how often when he sees Uncle Mike and there's been a couple times he looks at me and I'm like, don't look at me, dude. Like, you're the one who got yourself into this. It is shocking the way that they think. And I am constantly playing catch up. I know that it's hard to have teenage, preteen kids, all that. I'm learning very quickly. It was like a light switch. I'm like, dude, what happened? Like, can you go back to playing with army men? Like, oh my God. Yeah. But
don't even get me started on this whole grooming thing and all
this
that whole stuff.
It's become a feel. It's what do you feel? It's like my generation, which whatever, I don't know why I am a millennial because I was born in the 80s. That doesn't seem fair to me. It's not fair. So I want a law made. And I don't care what anyone else thinks, and I don't care what you think. Don't silence or stifle me. I expect you to pay for it, and I want a law that says I am not a millennial.
I have a problem with any ordinance, law, whatever, that's protecting groups. You're a citizen, you're a human being, and that's where your rights derive from. Your rights derive from God. The government's rights derive from the people. And I don't care what you're in many, many groups. Every person is in many, many groups, and they all have the same rights. So when you say, you know, a certain group is being or needs special attention, I don't agree with that. If it's a problem for a certain group, it's a problem for the entire citizenry, and that's yes. where it needs to be addressed. Because when you start segregating a mm-hmm. group
yes.
to try and protect them, it's detrimental to that group.
Yes, and Ben Shapiro. I was just watching one of his most recent. My wife loves watching Ben Shapiro, but I saw one of his most recent episodes, and they had this guy on there who is from, you know, Shapiro's very far right, and this guy's very far left, and they're talking about what woke is, and the guy's getting booed by thousands of people in an auditorium. And Ben's like, no, let him, I want to talk. Like, I want to talk with him. And he passes it through when it was very obvious what they think woke is and what we or whatever, each side says what woke is. It's like, why are we even talking about woke? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Like, it's become a feelings convention. But what he had said is, and Ben Shapiro is a Jew, and he is saying, in history, he said, if this was the case and it was carried genetically, this wounding, because, you know, of course, if you're a product of your grandparents who survived the Holocaust, that's going to have an effect on your family as you carry it along. And they've been marginalized. They've been massacred. It's been horrible things have been done to that group. But here you have Ben comes out and he's saying, but why are we also one of the most successful groups? He said, "You at some point, you have to draw the line and go forward. It's not saying that was right. Of course I was wrong. It was a horrible abuse because small amounts of people took control of the populace. And now it becomes a game of, well, I don't want to have the finger pointed at me. So, I mean, I'm just going to keep my head down and not say anything. And then that's how you get, you know, that coming out. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Get to the range at Franktown Firearms and get your shooting skills back in shape. You consider yourself an experienced shooter, but you haven't been to the range in a while. Remember, defensive shooting skills are perishable. Firing a gun is not like riding a bike. Unless you practice regularly, don't count on your muscle memory to kick in when you need it. The team at Franktown Firearms believes the only difference between a beginner and an expert is practice. They want to give you the certainty that in a fight or flight scenario, you won't freeze. Imagine your frustration should you find yourself in the situation where you need to defend yourself or others, and you don't react the way you thought you would. Make sure you can count on your instincts. Sign up for a membership now. Mention KLZ Radio for a discount on your initiation fee. Walk-ins and non-members also welcome. Visit klzradio.com/Franktown now. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Welcome back to Shooting the Breeze, everyone. If you're just joining us, we're glad to have you. And we were discussing all the fun things, you know, just light subjects like the nanny state we all live in and how we're all under the same yoke, regardless of what you write on your ballot.
Yeah.
In the end, there is two sides, and it's them being royalty and us, all of us, the citizenry. We are the ones that pay in the end. And I think we are going down in a very slippery avalanche slope that is snowballing. And before we realize it, we're going to turn around in 5-10 years, and what we leave to our kids, they won't even know what it was like to be free.
Yeah.
It'll be, well, at least we're not Venezuela. Well, at least we're not Canada.
Yeah, we used to get that argument all the time when I would talk about the evils of socialism/communism, and you know, there are card carrying communists that are deep within our government right now. What really is driving me crazy is, did you guys hear about this disinformation governance board?
Well, obviously, we need another agency. Let's throw, I don't know, what, $300 million at it?
Well, actually, that started under Trump, and it had the purported goals was to deal with information coming in to the United States externally, so Russia and things like that. And I'm not sure I'm clear where people, especially conservatives, are getting the impression that the new appointee is going to be monitoring Facebook. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know her goals and where.
Well, you have
stated
a point there, because I forget who the head is, but he was talking in front of the Senate, I believe, and he came back a day or two ago and said, I did not do a good job, apparently, with explaining what the scope of this is.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's also not far-fetched at all, because that's what happens. You start with the worst things, start with the best of intentions.
Yes,
and
I agree with you.
It's another agency that, you know, it's the same thing as, you know, we had all these, what was it, the Patriot Act and all this stuff, where now all of a sudden a wiretap. Well, yeah, if it's a terrorist, a suspected terrorist, yeah, you should be listening into that guy.
It was right. Sucked, really, because it was announced here right after Elon Musk bought Twitter.
What? And of course that was on purpose. Of course it was.
Unfortunate timing.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think it was. I think he said, like Sean said, I don't think it was unfortunate. I think it was like, watch out, Mr. Musk.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think there is a lot to be said for that. I think that there's a lot of that going on. They say that it's focusing on Russia and U.S. and the Mexico border.
And we don't.
But
nobody trusts.
When was the last time that they, being the deep state, or they being the mainstream media, told us the God's honest truth about everything?
Yeah. Well, the last disinformation from Russia that I recall, the last big disinformation from Russia, was, I believe, paid for and written basically by Hillary Clinton's team. So I don't know, not possible.
Obviously. What are you doing? Yeah. You're right by a window. A drone's gonna
right.
See the Predator drone coming from the airport. Get down.
I'm looking on the messaging here. Luke's typing like, "Get down."
Okay. And in the immortal words of Jesse Smollett, "I am not suicidal. Yeah, I am not suicidal."
Exactly. And that's the whole problem. Is, you know, that's been proven already. And all of the Michael Steele and the Steele dossier, Christopher Steele. And the Steele dossier and all that stuff, that was all proven to be incorrect and disinformation. But nothing ever happens to them.
Yeah.
Nothing ever comes out of it. If it was me or you, we would be in prison already.
There's lots of things. I mean, even thinking about, do you remember the adage of boys will be boys?
Yeah.
Right? And it's not just boys, girls do lots of destructive things too. But the things that I did growing up with a firecracker, allegedly. We're just speaking hypotheticals here, obviously. I don't know what the statute
What's the statute of limitations on
right,
that?
Right, right. But some of the things we did as kids, like I remember the fire marshal picking me up for playing with bottle rockets. And I shouldn't have been doing it. I was being a stupid kid last Tuesday. And he came in, you know, of course, I'm, you know, I think I was 16 or something. I don't remember. And I'm going, you know, well, you know, go ahead, call my dad. He's like, I'm going to call your grandfather. I was like, oh, please don't. Sorry.
This reminds me of a thought that's in the back of my head. So I'm going to take your tin hat and put it on for a minute here, Karen.
Looks nice on you.
Growing up, in, I think it was high school, the big push about concern was the population growth and overpopulation. And you don't hear it put that way anymore. And I've got a theory. I think the aliens are here and they're farming us. And,
right.
And they don't care about the population. It's now become, you know, a climate change issue. And that's really... that's the aliens making sure that the terraform works for them, but they would like their crop of humans to be as large as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as
yeah.
fat and
that
unhealthy
seems perfectly
as possible.
Reasonable.
I work many shows. That has to be the single strangest sentence I've ever heard in my entire life.
The fact that he brought it, like, that sounded like it was the way that you stated that. It was like, it is 37 degrees outside, the sky is blue, mm-hmm. and yeah,
and
we're
aliens.
Just being harvested.
It's amazing what a tin hat will do for
well,
you.
Well, okay, I'm going to take that tin foil hat back for a second with this whole alien topic. So,
oh my gosh.
And this is I'm going to go down this road just because it's fun, and I'm like the conspiracy
Let's
theorist
do it.
Of
and
the.
That's no one's called in yet, fun. So we're doing it.
So you brought up aliens.
I now, did. Better stop us.
It's my fault.
Anybody who's a Christian, right, and you've read the Bible,
right,
you know that we're sort of living in the Book of Revelation right now.
Yes, okay. I can
so
see
we,
that.
I'll concede that.
All right. Yeah. So what? Some people are saying and are very adamant about is that with this whole series of events that's happening right now, that we are working our way up to a quote unquote alien invasion, and that they can do this with all CGI. Okay? Have you not heard this
one? I've seen things like we're getting into real dark pockets here of the
right?
web. I'm liking this. This is like 2:30 in the morning. I took some melatonin and I'm regretting it.
What was that show that was on long time ago that was in the middle of the night? That
I think I can get by with tinfoil earmuffs at this point.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, they say they can recreate this and they can even recreate a second coming of Christ and the whole thing using CGI.
There has been some, I have seen some things about that. And it is, if we just play pretend with us. Let's go into the Dungeons and Dragons set of the mind.
Okay, you lost just me play. There, so go ahead.
No, I didn't, Karen. I'll get you. But let's just say, right now, that would be why we don't, like, they don't just come down and be like, hey, we're here. They're probably looking at us and being like, we have to stop them before they destroy
that
blue marble.
Totally.
Like, they can't be trusted. They cannot go for a year without beating each other with sticks. They are destroying everything.
I think the one thing that we have learned or not learned from our space program is this little blue ball is the most valuable resource, that life is incredibly resilient. And if you think that it only spontaneously erupted on one planet, I think you're kind of foolish.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so the fact that this planet can support it makes it incredibly valuable. So assuming there are otherworldly civilizations, it's kind of sus that they haven't made themselves known, and it makes me worry that, like, we better be... better behaved, or they're going to come down here.
Have you seen any of the any of the good theories about why we haven't found aliens yet? There are a couple. There are a handful.
Just what do you mean we haven't found aliens? What are you talking about?
Why we haven't found big boy aliens?
Why they're not on the White House?
Yeah, spitball a couple. There are a couple. One of the theories is that we're the first. We're literally the most advanced because we're all, you know, we're pretty. We're pretty young.
Are you going to like the Great Filter?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, the Great Filter. There's something out there too insurmountable for any race to overcome, and you're doomed to fail before you can find another one. People are doomed to destroy themselves before they can advance far enough. And like, there's a handful of others, but it's all kind of crazy stuff.
It is. And I've seen, you know, I was trying to show my kids because my son was really interested. He's getting interested in astronomy. And so I was trying to explain to him, you know, there's a video on YouTube that someone did. I wish I could find which one it was, but they talk about, they show you the scale of the observable universe. And it is the observable universe as far as we have been able to see, which is huge, like incomprehensibly huge, is, if you were to put it to scale, what we can see around us isn't even a grain of sand on a beach on Earth.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just from what we can see with trillions of celestial bodies. And that makes you feel, when you think about from that scale, it really is amazing. And it just when you appreciate that.
And when you think again on top of that, it wasn't that long ago when we thought the galaxy was the universe. Mm-hmm. And now we see, okay, we're just the galaxies are in the universe. Yeah. So who's to know what's beyond the universe?
And now we're going full circle. Not full circle, because it's flat again. The Earth is flat again, apparently.
Yeah. Like, the flat universe. Which actually
the moon was actually Greenland.
Give me a boat. I will go. Show me. I will do it right now. I volunteer.
And when the aliens do invade and they descend from their spaceships to wreak havoc on us, you can go to Franktown Firearms to defend yourself.
Of course. Right? Of course. Defend your proper attack.
What a beautiful segue that was.
It was a beautiful segue.
I'm not getting paid for this.
You can stop us. You can stop us. All you have to do is call 303-477-5600. That's all you have to do.
And sorry that we're kind of jumping from topic to topic.
I'm not
sorry.
But
we came in here very, very excited to start this new show. And so we're just kind of all over the place.
Are any of our regular listeners that happen to be listening in this new time slot are probably like, wow, like this is what they're like. I can't. Poor Luke. I hope Luke's getting his money.
I think
we
made the point that we're open to any topic.
We're shooting the breeze. It's the name of the show. I'm not doing an infomercial.
As long as it's not the boring stuff that you see in the echo chambers on the television.
No, I can't even with that stuff. I'm so over it. Even all the conservative talk radio and all that stuff, it's boring. We've heard it all. They've hashed it all out. There's nothing more to say. We need to talk about something fresh.
It's very difficult to come up with new content because people are upset about the same thing, and you know, feeding that upset, it's not healthy.
Can I throw one more thing in here since we were already talking about flat Earth, and that's
Karen, we're going around
to flat. Okay.
I watched a video from a very hardcore flat earther on TikTok, and he
that's where I get all my news.
Does anybody know the temperature of the sun? The temperature of the surface of the sun.
5,000.
Isn't it like 7,900 degrees Fahrenheit or something like that?
Hot.
Very. I think the temperature.
It's like 8,000 degrees.
Quickly open Google. A lot of chickens.
What I want to know.
That's what I'm saying.
Is if you're at a foundry or something, a steel mill that melts metal, that's pretty darn hot. That runs at about 2,000, 3,000 degrees.
Right.
Okay? So the sun is only, 5,000 degrees hotter than that, but it's 93 million miles away. How does that heat get here?
Well, that's a good point. People don't realize, you know, you look at maps and you look at the scale of things, the size of the sun to the Earth. It's
massive, but visually, it's the same size as the moon.
Because of distance.
Right.
It doesn't matter
if you're 15 feet away from that foundry door when it opens up and the molten metal is in there, you walk away 15 feet and you can't feel it anymore.
Dissipated by the atmosphere. Sun's in a vacuum. Heat travels faster. The temperature of the surface of the sun is 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
10,000, okay.
Of the surface.
Surface of the sun, 10,000 degrees.
Which is what we
would feel. I go with...
I don't know where you're getting your information, Luke. I think you need to learn.
It cooks my spaghetti
good information.
My finger gets roasted, gone, and those are my levels of temperature understanding.
Yeah. So it's very interesting, right? It's
people
an interesting concept.
Bringing up, like, at least then there's something someone can discuss. And that's what I think people have reached the point now, at least talking with a huge variety of the customer base that we have. We have people from all walks of life, both
sure.
sides of the aisle, lesser sides of the aisle that are lesser represented for good or bad. But everybody seems to be, I mean, we're all in this together. We really are. Like, I'm not, again, not doing the millennial thing. This isn't a feeling thing. This is, we really are. We are all on the receiving end of this. And how much more? How much more? What's next? Like, we are all at the point where it's just, you're going, okay, great. What's next? So next time I go get gas in 2 days, in 3 days, is it going to be $9 and then $12? And that's just acceptable. And then there will be some BS thing brought up. Oh, well, it's because of this. It's like, no, no.
Or as Jen Psaki would say, most of it's because of Vladimir Putin.
Right,
right. That's what she says.
Well, Trump's out, so it's hard to blame him.
Yeah.
Unless you're sitting with a bunch of reporters at a dinner and
unless you're
it's the echo chamber. Yeah.
He can just continue to find stuff to blame Trump for.
I find it interesting. I mean, we own a shooting center. We are obviously, you know, Second Amendment. But that frame of mind permeates our whole ideas about how the world should work. I'm responsible for my protection. I'm responsible for my family's protection. What do I look to the government to protect me from? What does a Republican look to the government to protect them from? I
mean, nothing.
What is the purpose of the government?
Foreign invasion.
What does a Democrat look to the government? Well, I think it should be. The federal government should protect the country mm-hmm. from other countries.
Yeah.
The state should protect the interests of the citizens from the federal government. Mm-hmm. And that's not what happens.
Well, enemies, both foreign and domestic. We need to keep that in mind, too.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, but telling me that I have to buckle my seatbelt.
Mm-hmm. To be the big issue.
Yeah.
And it's more of a problem.
Dare I say that...
It is the major issue.
Yeah.
If I can toss in something just real quick.
Nah, fine.
All right. You guys were talking about, you know, driving a vehicle is a privilege, not a right.
Yeah.
It costs a lot of money. Got to register a vehicle, got to insure a vehicle, all that fun stuff. And then we have to think about, well, I mean, the people who built the country to be vehicle dependent. If you don't have the money for a vehicle, or if you don't believe in vehicles, whatever it is, if you don't have one, you're kind of out of luck. So yeah. It should be a right at this moment because it's essential for travel. If you live in Elizabeth and you need to get to an emergency room and you don't have a vehicle, no good.
Sorry, that doesn't fit the logic because then it's harder to tax you on it. More.
Exactly. So, it's so strange you think about it. Yeah. It's like, it's not a right. It's not a right. It's not a right. But it's essential.
Did you choose to live in Elizabeth, or are you blaming your parents for birthing you into Elizabeth?
Good question.
If you can't afford a car, you could move to a city. If you don't want to live in a city, you can get a job so you can afford a car.
Can you?
Can you? How much are they going to tax you?
It should be that way. Yeah, absolutely.
Mike's speaking rhetorically, I think.
No, I definitely get it. I definitely get it. It's a balance between how much are you responsible for yourself and then how much is the state responsible for managing, you know, the area around it. If they have city ordinances that mandate you can't put a hospital there in Elizabeth because it's not up to the, you know, it's not up to code or it's not in the right district or anything, and then you need a car to get to the hospital. And if you need a car, you know, you shouldn't be denied.
I think that leads into a big difference in ideology between equality of opportunity and equality of outcome.
It's a big ask. It's a big question. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Totally agree. Well, I know that with there's a lot of people that say healthcare is a right. You know, that's when all the Obamacare stuff was going on and healthcare is a right, not a privilege.
All of a sudden, now it gets a little more shades of gray, doesn't it? Now, all of a sudden, a lot of the hard set left and right, well, there's a lot of more people in the middle going, well, you know, I mean, I'm not totally against having, I mean, if we're blowing all of our money on all this stupid stuff, Why yeah. can't we just divert some of that?
Another good question.
Like yeah. the mating habits of a shrimp and a certain, right. I mean,
hey, the
seriously.
West Plum Creek deer mouse is one of the most important causes in my life.
That's true.
It affects.
I mean, for the healthcare, I'm curious about your guys' opinion on that. I think the big issue stems from the middle ground we live in. If we had a true free market healthcare economy, we'd be great because then the people would be able to decide exactly what kind of services they want. But we don't. We have to have insurance and insurance companies buy out politicians who regulate what can and can't right. be yeah. done, so on
See?
And so forth.
It's very
Then we're going back to the bureaucracy.
Yeah, or yeah. if it's total socialism, fine, go total socialism with it. But
it's very
the middle
complex.
Ground that's
you
weird.
Want you yeah. want your
Get that word out of your mouth,
healthcare
Luke.
To I be the best. Inside. And you want it to evolve and learn and get better. And whether a capitalistic view of how to make that happen or a socialist view of how to make that happen is going to be the best path. You know, that's
not the best path.
Debatable. I'm not going to take that side. I'm just saying that, you know, those are the arguments.
And then there's the people that want full on communism. They want the government to control everything.
I mean, sloth is one of the seven deadly sins, right?
Yes.
And it is so easy to be lazy.
Only because I saw the movie. That's the only reason I know.
I mean, you've had surgeries. I know. Mm-hmm. I have. Yeah, I'm sure you have. And, you know, you're like, okay, like, great. I got to just back off and do nothing. For me, after a couple days, it's like, are these walls getting, like, smaller? Mm-hmm.
They're closing in.
I like to be active. But at the same time, the idea of just, I want to do nothing. Because time is something that all of us have in short supply, really. On the grand scheme of things, we're this tiny little blip and we're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And after two generations, nobody remembers you for the most part. And when we're sitting there clicking on a screen, tapping on our phone, and not interacting with our fellow man or our children or our spouse or whatever, it's easy to think, and I do it all the time, I'm guilty of it. I am an absolute offender of this to the highest degree. I always feel guilty not spending time with enough time with my kids, and I constantly am policing myself, and I'll force myself where it's like, I just want to sit and do nothing. I just want to have a cigarette and I want to drink some coffee outside and look at my phone. But then I'll be like, no. And I make myself, whenever I have those thoughts, I've been getting better at it. I go in, I'm like, nope, I'm going to do it right now. Today's the time. I go find one of my kids and I say, what are you doing? Show me.
To a kind of roll back to the healthcare thing. And the greatest engine of progress has always been the innate human self-interest played against competition. And basically that's capitalism. And that's what has made America great.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And capitalism, I would die fighting for capitalism. It is what makes us great. It's what separates us out. Having competition. I love competition. I love it. I absolutely love it.
There has to be impetus for progress to happen.
Well, if there's not, okay.
What's the greatest impetus, then my own self-interest I want.
If our government provided everything for us, what is the motivation for anybody to work or for anybody to go to college and become a nurse or a doctor?
Obviously, you didn't grow up watching Star Trek, where technology has become so advanced that we don't have to be worried about those kind of things because magic happens. And that's our goal, and we believe it's to be just around the corner because I learned it in my college professor's.
And unicorns are going to fly out of my underwear.
It was a teacher's assistant.
Exactly.
Well, except for in North Korea, they already live there in a magical cave.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And have you ever seen the videos of people, and I know we're running short on time here, so I'll make this quick. Have you ever seen the videos of people that actually got cameras into North Korea interviewing them and stuff?
Yeah.
And
oh,
they're
gosh.
Just
Vice News.
praising dear leader and they, I mean, crying and love him and the whole thing. And
but when you see when the average citizen's walking down the street, the look on their face, and you know what? That's
fair.
It is, but I'm starting to see more of that here.
Yeah, it's kind
every,
of like that.
Every
yeah,
dollar,
absolutely.
Every dollar raise, and it's like, you know, people come out of left field going, well, it should be a minimum of $30 an hour. I'm like, okay, great.
That's the new
one.
Yeah.
Okay, well, why not 50? Why not 150? we're in trouble.
Yeah.
The money trees, as much as we want to pretend they exist, they don't.
The money printing is out of control, obviously.
Well, yeah. I think we've set a good example for our future shows. We've touched on an incredible wide variety of topics. Totally unrelated.
Yeah.
Some related.
We were like a ping pong ball.
It's almost like we're shooting into an atmospheric area.
Right?
Yeah, like a breezy, windy thing.
Shooting the breeze, yeah. So to speak.
That's what, there it is.
There
Thank
it
you.
Is. That's you know, it.
You know, it was right on the tip of my tongue.
Nobody called 303-477-5600.
You know what? They will. They will next time. We'll,
radio is a fickle mistress.
It is, absolutely.
And there's been lots of times I'm like, I'm going to call in. I called in one time to KYGO. That was the last time I called into the radio, other than being on, you know, commercials. But when, and they were saying, well, how does Denver spell country? It's like C-O-U-N-T-R-Y, and I lost the tickets. They hung up on me. All they had to say was what they wanted me to say, and I just couldn't do it. So if you want to do that to me, go ahead.
That's right.
You're welcome.
If you want to come and argue, tell me that Earth is flat and...
Okay, and if you're listening to this show on Saturday when it re-airs, remember, we're live on Mondays, and that's when you can call in and send us off on a tangent. We love tangents.
We do.
Absolutely.
As long as it doesn't get us kicked off by the FCC, we are game.
You want to plug your stuff one more time before you...
Fine, I guess I probably should.
You should. Tell people where they can reach you, Sean.
You can reach us anytime on franktownfirearms.com, and you can call us at 720-770-7777. We are open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., except Sunday is noon to 6 p.m. We would love to help you with your firearms needs and meet you in person. Thank you very much for listening. Let us know when you're ready to rush on down to Franktown. We have reasonable prices. You can talk to us, or we have someone named John. He's a really nice guy. He's from New York. Really cool dude. He's there on Saturdays. Come check us out. Thank you all for listening to us. We'll see you next time. God bless.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Shooting the Breeze, brought to you by the team at Franktown Firearms. Mention that you heard Shooting the Breeze on KLZ when you purchase a gun, and Franktown Firearms will waive your background fee. Veterans, first responders, and law enforcement receive a Patriot discount on everything in the store. Get in touch with Franktown Firearms now at klzradio.com/guns. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.